Welcome to the Dermastore podcast,
a chat about all things skincare, skin health.
And if you're a real skin nerd, we hope you'll join the conversation. Welcome to episode 22 of the Dermastore podcast. Hey, Laura, how are you doing?
I'm good, Greg. How are you?
All good, thank you.
Nice.
We've got a special episode today. We are answering your questions based on a poll we put on Instagram. So we look forward to answering those. We've got Dr. Webster in the studio. But before we jump in there, what did you use this morning?
Today is a very special routine because we have a little Dermastore gathering a little bit later on this afternoon. So we have to look the part. Cool. So I prepped my skin with just my Bioderma Micellar water. I then used my pH formula eye serum. It's got a beautiful roller application, so just to help with the puffy, tired eyes. Yeah. And then SkinCeuticals Metacell cream. I've been trying that Metacell Renewal.
That's a winner.
Wow. I just feel like it's a hybrid moisturizer where it's a little bit of a serum application, yes, but moisturizing.
It's an emulsion. Hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my SPF, I used Kakabio from Bioderma, the SPF 50.
Nice.
It's got a slight green tint, so it helps with a little bit of the neutralization of the redness. So that's my routine.
Great.
What did you get up to this morning?
I used Bioderma Sensibio, the micellar cleansing oil.
Okay.
I don't particularly use cleansing oils, but I have been testing this one and I really do like it. It's not really for my skin type, but it's there, so I'm using it. And then Abaji Clear FX. Mm-hmm. That's just for some pigmentation.
From the new derm range.
Okay. Yeah. It's got Arbutin in it, vitamin C. I haven't used it in a very long time, and it's a cult product for pigmentation. So I'm just trying that out again.
Cool. You're on the Arbutin train, eh?
Yeah. Nice. And then I use the Zoskin Health Self Activating Vitamin C Serum 10, which is also nice.
Do you like the silicone?
I do. I know it's more of a medical application. It's not that pleasant for everyone, but it really does work.
Okay.
It delivers that vitamin C. You can feel it.
Brilliant.
You know when you can feel L-ascorbic acid, even at 10%. Great one. And then I used MartiDerm Active D. I might have used the Abaji Revitalize Barrier Repair Cream as well.
Oh, yes, the new one.
I've been using that literally since December.
Okay.
Going on 4 months, and it's just never ending.
Cool.
So even at that price point, I've been loving it.
A little goes a long way.
It's not too heavy. That's
what's
great about
it. Is it that recovery
It's the Rebalance Skin Barrier Cream from Abaji. Yeah, it is relatively new. I did speak about it, I think, before, but it really is wonderful because it's not too rich.
Ian, what did you use this morning?
My usual. The Isdin Neutrodeca gel for my seborrheic dermatitis.
And you told me something else this morning.
Yes, I used the Bioderma Node P shampoo, and I just gently cleansed my face in the shower.
Okay, so on to today's episode. Questions from you guys. So, number one, can genetics cause hyperpigmentation?
Yes, so it all boils down to your skin type, your skin tone. So people with a darker skin type or skin tone, the number of pigment cells, melanocytes in the skin is exactly the same as a fair skin person.
Okay.
But the melanocytes are just larger with more dendritic, with more dendrites, like sort of pseudopods that go out.
I like to explain it like in a darker skin tone, their melanocytes look like an octopus.
Yes.
So the arms are the dendrites and they're thick and they carry a lot of melanosomes and they reach really high into the epidermis. So in a darker skin tone, we have this exact same amount of octopuses in a lighter skin and darker skin. But in a lighter skin, I don't call them an octopus. I use jellyfish analogy. So a slightly smaller melanocyte with slightly thinner little dendrites. So we're depositing. We only can carry a little bit of melanosomes in the melanocyte. And that's why we have such different deposits of melanin in the skin.
I love that analogy. Okay. It's fantastic. You can visualize that in the epidermis. And I think other thing that maybe people don't realize, people with a darker skin tone, the melanocytes are more reactive. Mm. So in other words, they're going to react more
inflammation.
To more inflammation. They're going to react to the sun. They're going to react to estrogen-containing contraceptives. They're going to react if you're pregnant. Mm. So they're not only bigger, but they're more reactive.
And more so more sensitive.
More sensitive.
To external aggressors.
Exactly.
Like hormones.
Exactly.
And, okay.
Or injury. You might burn your hand on the stove or something. So the people with darker skin tone is more likely to develop PIH, okay. Post-inflammatory pigmentation.
That's a really great question. And I think not a lot of people know that just the anatomy of the skin.
Okay, question two, what can I do about freckles? Usually from a young age, they're present, but is there anything you can do about them?
Well, it's obviously, again, a genetic predisposition. It's often people with the sort of Scottish Celtic type skin. They have the freckles. So it usually, they're more obvious in childhood. As you get older, they often get lighter. And they're often lighter in the winter and darker with sun exposure. So I usually tell my patients, some people don't like them. I usually try and tell my patients, just accept them and just use a high factor broad spectrum sunscreen. You could do an energy-based device like an IPL to lighten them, but I generally don't recommend that.
I almost feel like that you really are wasting your money on that.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
You will see a lightening and an evenness come from it, but they'll just pop back.
They're going to be back again. They're going to be back again. I think just accept that. Yeah. That's your genetic makeup. But if you want to make sure they don't get darker in the summer, use a high factor broad spectrum sunscreen.
And that's been proven to be very effective. Definitely.
And I think don't go hydroquinone, don't go energy based. That's my opinion. That's what I tell my patients anyway.
Okay, question three. What is the best vitamin C for dry but not sensitive skin?
I love this question.
We do see this a bit on our support. There are options. There are vitamin C bases that are paired with hydrating ingredients. So, I mean, vitamin C also doesn't have to be a serum, right? It can be a cream. pH Formula's got a vitamin C cream in a cream base.
Absolutely. Or a mask.
Yeah. I do prefer serums just because you're going to get that immediate absorption. So one of the ones we like to recommend are the Modiderm Proteus Hydroplus Ampules. The reason being is they got proteoglycans in them. And proteoglycans are a form of hyaluronic acid. They hydrate the skin. Another recommendation?
I think what I love about this question is the non-sensitive part. So you don't have to, if you have dry skin, you don't have to be scared of pure L-ascorbic acid. You can use pure L-ascorbic acid like the Martiderm ampules, but it's in a very hydrating formula, so perfect. But if you are a little bit nervous about pure L-ascorbic acid, I absolutely love the Lamel Lipid C because it's using a derivative, so the tetrahexyl ascorbate, in a lipid form with squalane. So very nourishing and soothing for that dry skin, but very efficacious for vitamin C. We had quite a few eye questions, which I really love because I do think it's quite a big concern for a lot of people. And this question was, how do I minimize under eye veins in my eyes? So that's almost like the bluish tint that you see around the eye area. Often we see it when we're looking a little bit more tired. And like you said earlier, Ian, when we were discussing pre-podcast, was the skin is a little bit thinner and more delicate.
More translucent.
Yeah. So what we can do for this area, it is a bit tricky, especially if you have that deeper set blue tinge in the eye.
Yes.
But if you look for ingredients that contain vitamin K or hesperidin and even peptides, these ingredients are really good at strengthening the vein network around the skin. And that sort of helps alleviate the blue tinge, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So sometimes people with a very translucent skin, you might actually see that actual blue vein running there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you're not going to, you can't even do laser or IPL. So unfortunately, it's not going to do these topical products are not going to do much if you see a definite blue vein.
Okay.
Because that's deep.
Yes.
But it's more that sort of like a bluish tinge, you know, where it's more the smaller blood vessels.
Yeah, so I think you kind of just want to help encourage the stimulation around the eye area, move that sort of stale
cold
blood.
Compress.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can use, I know people use ice blocks, but there are products as well.
Yeah.
Lamel's Luminous Radiant Eye Cream has got tranexamic acid in it, which is anti-inflammatory.
And yes, the clinical studies on the Luminous Radiant Eye with the tranexamic acid has showing to improve that blueness.
Okay, so question number 5. Can I put my SPF under my eyes? I've been told not to, but surely it needs protection.
100%. What a great question.
Yes, no, it's a great question. So obviously, the eyelid skin is the thinnest skin in the whole body.
Okay.
So it's also, we get skin cancers, you know, on the lower eyelids and, you know, around the eyes. Yes. And they're very tricky to treat. So basically, I would recommend a mineral sunscreen.
Okay.
I mean, you can, again, it depends whether you've got it prone towards eczema, etc. But basically, the safest would be use a mineral sunscreen, one that says safe eye tech or anti-eye stinging that's been tested, that doesn't sting your eyes.
Ophthalmologically tested.
Ophthalmologically tested, yes. Yeah.
And we actually do have an eye cream on Dermastore, which I'm so chuffed about. It is the Color Science Total Eye Care SPF 35. Which is a mineral sunscreen.
Mm.
And what is brilliant about it is got a slight tint to it, so it also acts as that concealer. So
yeah.
It's protecting, conceals, nourishes. Quite frankly, it's an all-in-one.
Yeah, so definitely you must use a sunscreen, because as I said, we do see skin cancers around the eye. And obviously also sunglasses.
Yeah, sunglasses. Yeah. Those big, oaky ones.
Sunglasses. Also, sunglasses prevent you getting cataracts.
Our next question, which is a very interesting question. My SPF has niacinamide. Will pairing it with a vitamin C serum cancel out the actives? In fact, it does the opposite, hey?
It enhances. Yeah. Vitamin C and niacinamide work very well together. There's a few products where you'll find them in the same formulation. You can also just split it up. I mean, do vitamin C in the morning and niacinamide at night if you have the respective serums in a more single focused base, but we see a lot of benefits in pairing these two ingredients together.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about that.
I wouldn't as well. So the synergistic benefit is what you're looking for, definitely. So go ahead.
Okay, question number 7. I have extremely puffy eyes and I'm not sure how to treat them. Okay, so this
we
is
feel
where,
you.
Yeah, I feel you. This is where the caffeine comes in, and we have a number of eye creams that can help with this. And also, I particularly find the applicator so important with puffiness. We've got a few roller applicators, and what's nice about the metal applicator is it's cooling as well. Yes. It kind of gives you that immediate alleviation, even if it's temporary, it feels good. Yeah, so there's definitely things you can do about that. Supporting microcirculation, again, you can do a cold compress, and try and avoid rubbing your eyes as well as much as possible.
Definitely, that just aggravates the skin, and then we probably are worsening the edema around the eyes.
Especially if you have allergies and things like that, people often end up rubbing their eyes too much.
Yeah.
Get enough sleep too, you know? Try.
So definitely your applicators, Greg. I think the Obagi Elastiderm Eye Serum has that beautiful applicator. It has got caffeine in it. We also like the Eye Brightness Cream from Zedo. That's got a really nice high concentration of caffeine. And even the one that I used this morning, the pH formula, it's not a metal rollable. And I think even just that movement, that lymphatic drainage helps with the puffy eyes. And then if you can, put those tea bags on your
eyes. Yeah. We are also launching a device soon that will help with this. It's got a metal end.
Okay.
And it heats and it cools and it vibrates as well. So basically you can help with that lymphatic drainage.
Very nice.
I mean, that's obviously more on the extreme side. Yeah. But if it's a persistent problem, you know, that's quite cool.
I really love that. And I think, you know, the eyes, you don't like it when someone says, sure, you look tired, Laura. So if we can start improving that area around the eye area, I think do it sooner than later. And unfortunately, it has to be a daily habit. Hey?
So the only other comment I've got is as you get older, you can, in older men and women, you can get infraorbital fat pads. So you get like this bagginess below the eyes.
Okay.
And it's actually a fat pad. And unfortunately, the only way of getting rid of that is with a plastic surgeon's knife. Yeah, it's blepharoplasty. Yeah.
Okay.
So no cream or ointment will remove that. That needs surgical removal.
Does it work well?
Yes, it does work well.
Okay, question 8. Is homosalate safe in sunscreens? Apparently, it aggravates cancer cell growth.
That's an advanced question.
Yeah,
I'm going to hand that over to you, Dr. Webster.
It's basically the old saying, we say the dose makes the poison.
Okay.
So there's been clear statements by the scientific committee from the European Union. if you use less than 0.5% of the homo salate in the product, final product, it's perfectly safe.
Okay.
It doesn't disrupt the not an endocrine disruptor, but at the same time, the homo salate is one of the older organic chemical sun filters. Yes. And we're generally moving away from them.
Yes.
We've got better sun filters, the mineral sunscreens, obviously. But if you, I recommend choose a well-known brand, mm-hmm. and then you should be safe.
Yeah.
So I think, and they will, those well-known brands will put the homo salate in the, at the right concentration.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point because we really do need to trust these brands that are formulating these sunscreens. Yeah. At no point really are they going to jeopardize our health formulating at higher concentrations that is what is necessary.
Yeah. And it only also covers UVB basically. So I think it will be sort of probably phased out. Yeah.
Okay, question number 9. When having seborrheic dermatitis or psoriasis, it affects your scalp. Can it affect your armpits?
Yes, both seborrheic dermatitis and psoriasis can affect the folds. So under your arms, in your groin, it can do that. Mm-hmm. So especially seborrheic dermatitis. So seborrheic dermatitis, the pathogenesis is all of us carry a yeast on our skin, and mm-hmm. it's an overgrowth of that yeast.
Okay.
So you get it often in the scalp, you get it on the face, often in the folds.
Okay.
So that's a common area.
Okay.
Psoriasis often occurs more on what we call the extensor surfaces. It's often over the elbows and over the knees, but we do get a type of psoriasis called inverse psoriasis, where it occurs in the folds.
Okay.
And it can occur in under the arms, in the groins, you know, or in the folds. But that's a slightly more unusual form of psoriasis, yeah.
And a little bit trickier to treat. But trickier
because it's a thin-skinned area, so you've got to be careful. Like cortisones, you've got to use very mild cortisones or whatever you use. That's a medical prescription product, yeah.
And so how do we help? What could we use if we do have seborrheic dermatitis, a scalp, and on the rest of the body?
Well, the scalp, you could use this Bioderma Node P. That's a fantastic product.
Yep.
You could also, in the shower, you could actually wash with that in the folds. You know, you could wash with that because that's going
to
help.
So it can really be head to toe
exactly,
sort of kind of
exactly.
use. Oh, fantastic.
And then you can also, in addition to that, you could just get a 2% ketoconazole cream.
Okay.
I think I mentioned the trade name. Ketazole, you can buy it over the counter in South Africa.
Okay.
And that you can put that in the folds.
Okay.
And that will help. But seborrheic dermatitis, there's no actual cure for it. Mm-hmm. It's more controllable rather than curable.
Okay.
So if you're a bit more stressed or a bit more run down, if your immune system goes down for any reason, the seborrheic dermatitis tends to flare up a bit.
And does it also get aggravated from climate conditions humid and
heat and humidity, especially and again in the folds?
Okay.
Under
where we perspire, maybe.
Exactly.
Okay.
Then you're going to get more of the overgrowth of this yeast. Okay. Yeah.
Question 10. I have acne and pigmentation at the same time. What can I do about it? Okay, so this is something we obviously see quite a bit of. And I always say, and correct me if I'm wrong, you got to treat the cause before you treat the result, which is the pigmentation. So do we start by treating acne first?
Well, it depends. I think it depends upon the severity of the acne. Obviously, you've got severe nodular cystic acne. The person needs to go on isotretinoin. But often, I will find it'll be often this, like a woman maybe in their 30s. They've got a little bit of still adult acne, but they're getting pigmentation as well.
Yes.
Maybe a bit of melasma with a bit of PRH. Mm. But this is where I think a topical retinoid is brilliant.
Yes.
Because it covers both. It'll treat, as I say, obviously you've got very inflammatory acne or nodular cystic acne, you go with prescription products. But I think the more common scenario is a woman in their 30s with acne and pigmentation, and that you can choose either a prescription retinoid or a non-prescription retinoid.
Yes.
And maybe you can elaborate there, Laura.
Oh, I think we are so lucky that we have such a diverse offering of retinoids on Dermastore particularly, and they're synergistic formulas again. So the one that I've chosen actually for today is the CeraVe Blemish Control because it's got niacinamide. So it's a retinol that's combating the acne, but we're also targeting the hyperpigmentation at the same time. Even something like the PCA Clear Skin, which is a moisturizer, which has retinol palmitate in, brilliant, targeting acne and hyperpigmentation at the same time with moisturizing benefits.
Yeah.
And then I think something that we overlook all the time is if you've got an acne condition with hyperpigmentation, whether it be the PIH around the breakout blemish or just hyperpigmentation across the skin, screen is really good.
And for your skin type, don't go using a heavy sunscreen that's going to further aggravate your acne. Use a indicated one for exactly La Roche-Posay, oil control.
Really beautiful.
There's a SkinCeuticals one as well for oiliness. Mm-hmm. So that's really crucial. Don't undo the steps that you've already laid down. Use a cleanser that's appropriate for your skin type. As you say, for oily skin, use an appropriate cleanser and a sunscreen, and then have your targeted care in between. For that can treat both. Retinols are great. Things with azelaic acid also work well for both. Niacinamide works well for both. Yeah, we've got a bunch of options on Dermastore. So fortunately, that's not the issue. It's about just finding that right combination of products for you.
And I also think if you do have both these conditions, I know they're really challenging ones, and I know they become debilitating a little bit for us sometimes. Don't go in harsh and aggressive. I think that's the worst thing that you can do. We've got really incredible, powerful ingredients that if you start low and slow, your outcome will be phenomenal.
Okay, and again, that often that woman in their late 20s, when they come into my practice, they say, doctor, I'm still getting a bit of acne, which is irritating. I've got pigmentation, but I'm seeing fine lines as well, doctor. And again, retinoid.
Okay.
Retinoid will address all those issues.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah,
so that's brilliant. So they're still getting pimples, but they're seeing the lines, and it really bugs them. You know?
Perfect. And we have such a beautiful retinoid landing page on Dermastore to help you navigate through the perfect retinoid for your skin concerns.
Or chat to our therapist. You know, that's what they're there for. They're to help. Okay, well, I think that's all. We've answered 10 of your most pressing questions, and we'll definitely do this again sometime. Thanks again to Dr. Webster for being here, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe if you're keen to learn more about what we have to say. We would also really love your thoughts, ideas, and any questions you have for future episodes. You can email us on pod@dermastore.co.za.